This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Herron. Chapter 32, Oxydendrum. With shaking hands, Ruby stared down the sights of her pistol. Her vision swam in and out of focus as she struggled to compose herself. She felt cold and clammy and slick with a sheen of rancid perspiration. It hurt to move, to breathe, even to think, almost like a metal spike had been driven into her skull. She didn't know exactly what the Imposter King had done to her, but she sure as hell wasn't going to let him finish. "You brought a gun to a sword fight? How is that even remotely fair?" The false king stumbled to his feet, clutching at his bleeding shoulder as he turned a murderous gaze in her direction. Ruby made to laugh, but her trembling lips couldn't form their usual sneer. The tremors in her hand reached a peak, and she squeezed the trigger once again. The kickback from the gun was more than her atrophied grip could handle, and the bullet disappeared into the sky as the weapon tumbled to the ground. She let her arm fall limp to her side, unable to keep it aloft despite the assistance of her mechanized armor. Eric pulled his hand away to reveal a pool of blood in his palm and a searing pain that forced him to keep his arm tucked in at his side. He returned his attention to the jewel, who was scrabbling through the ash to put some distance between them. His eyes landed on her discarded weapon, and he moved to snatch it up before she could think to reload. He hated firearms. They were the perfect example of scientific advancements being used to harm and control others, a perversion to the original intent of innovations and discovery. There was a burning hatred lingering in those icy blue eyes, a look that forced Ruby to dig into her reserves to hasten her efforts to put some distance between them. The scholar had informed her that this was not Elias, but even though he had been right, he had failed to realize the extent of this man's control over the darker forces. He was dangerous, and she had to warn everyone. She lifted her hands, and with numb fingers, Ruby reached inside her armor. But the sound of incoming footsteps stopped her, and before she could turn around, something collided with the back of her head. She was sent tumbling back into the ash towards the Necromancer King. Blinking away the stars and tears, her gaze flickered upwards to see the queen standing over her, wielding the broken remnants of her own bat. "Call off your troops, or I will end you, here and now." Pyra hefted the weapon over and behind her head, ready to bring it down like an executioner's axe. Rolling onto her back, Ruby forced herself to sit up. She glanced at the king and found no pity or concern on his face. Her gaze flickered back to the queen, and she raised a hand to stay the attack. But as she opened her mouth to speak, only air moved past her cracked lips. Frowning in confusion, she tried again and again. Her pulse quickened with each attempt, but they were all the same. Silence. She screamed, but nothing came out. Her fingers clawed at her throat as she looked up at the two, tears streaming down her face. Caught off guard by the sudden display of emotion, Pyra exchanged a look with Eric before turning back to the jewel.
"I said call them off! Now!"
The eerie and forlorn cries of warhorns sounded to the west, drawing Eric's attention from his spiraling thoughts. He stepped around the sobbing figure to stare up at the horizon. Perhaps they had managed to drag the fleeing forces back onto the field, or maybe it was a wave of reinforcements that had finally arrived, but along the opposite ridge, more enemy troops had arrived. He looked over his shoulder at the queen. They knew that they were in a race against time, that others would arrive eventually. But a part of him had hoped to send a message before that happened, something that would cause the enemy to second-guess the ease at which they might take the border. He let out a long sigh. Pyra stepped up beside Eric, clutching her broken arm to her side. The irony of their nearly matching injuries was not lost on her, but the chuckle that tried to rise died in her stomach as more soldiers blocked out the sun on the horizon. There were hundreds of them, maybe more, and their own forces had been whittled down to only a few dozen. I fear our bluff has run its course.
Any ideas?
She took a moment to answer, mulling the thought around in her mind. I say we drag the Jewel of the Brotherhood before them and see how much her life is worth. Pyra shrugged, unconcerned for her callous words. If nothing else, it might buy enough time for the remainder of our side to escape to safety. Eric exhaled through his nose. It was a better idea than even the Queen knew. Ruby was outfitted with technology and weapons far more advanced than this primitive world should have to offer. It was unlikely she was just another toy soldier giving orders. She undoubtedly held some significance to the Brotherhood, and could very well be their key to ending this skirmish. He turned to face the woman still prone on the ground. She wasn't sobbing anymore, and instead was pulling something from her armor, a small metal cylinder with a trigger near the top. The tears had been replaced by an expression of pure loathing and venom. Feeling the rush of his stomach dropping into his feet, Eric cried out, "Bomb!" before he threw himself onto the Queen. His arm wrapped around her chest, and the two fell to the ground as Wraith managed to form a shadow shield. Through clenched eyes, Eric was blinded by a supernova explosion of light and a rush of wind like a hurricane. But there was no heat and no pain. He peeked open his eyes to see Ruby crawling into a tear in the fabric of reality. It wasn't a bomb. It was a portal device. Eric, ignoring the searing pain of his shoulder, shoved himself to his feet. He lunged in her direction, but it was too late. The vortex sealed itself before he could reach her. He had traveled the entire length of this country looking for a way back to his brother, and it had walked right up to him. Now it was gone, and so was their leverage. He let out a cry of rage and anger, screaming his feelings as he tossed the gun into the dirt where she had been. How could he have been so stupid? He looked around, his gaze rolling over the carnage. If the Brotherhood had this level of technology, what hope did anyone have? He watched from a distance as another body collapsed into the ash, motionless, and he felt the weight of everything crash down on him. This is all my fault. Pyra limped towards him, the pain in her broken arm doubled from his recent act of heroism. She placed her free hand on his shoulder. You sound like Elias. She paused, looking around. This is no more your fault than it was his.
But these people followed me here, into a battle we can't win. I've killed us all.
Pyra shook her head. No, they followed you here because this is their home. While we may have given them a location to make their final stand, they chose to be here. If not now, then later as they died on their doorsteps. She took in a deep breath as she looked around once more. At least here, they were able to send a message. Eric glanced up at the oncoming troops, some already surging across the field.
And what message is that?
That while Lucien holds control over the courts, the hearts of her people are their own. If they want Ebra, they will bleed for every inch they try to take. Her words finally made the pieces click. Eric wasn't their king. Not really. And they had all known this. They were here regardless of him. They had rallied to his plan not because of a sense of duty, but because they had found merit in it. He looked around at his allies as they clashed to meet the surge of enemy troops. From the few Fae that still held their own, to Barry and Evan, blood-spattered and tired, following in the wake of Undine and the Goliaths as they fought tooth and nail. His friends, new and old, fighting and dying beside him against an endless flow of enemies, with more nearly upon them.
Wraith?
Yeah?
Thank you.
Eric set his sights to the west. There would be no escape from what was to come, but that didn't mean they had to go quietly. A small smile tugged at the corners of his mouth as he turned to face the queen.
Let's make them bleed more for this inch than the rest of the miles to come.
Hera returned his sad smile with one of her own and nodded, reaching down to pluck a discarded sword from the ash with her good hand.
Agreed.
Alongside the queen, Eric marched towards the battlefield. A tremor of fear rippled through him as he looked around. Bob, no longer cowering in fear and rejoined with his lower half, skirted around him apprehensively before charging ahead to clear the way. As his steps brought him closer to the fighting, he realized the trembling he was feeling wasn't from fear. It was emanating from the soil beneath their feet. Something heavy was approaching, and fast. Certain the ground was about to split open beneath them, the quaking earth tossed Eric and Pyra to their hands and knees. He looked over his shoulder in time to roll out of the way of a massive figure that charged past them in a blur.
What now?
A gigantic, pale ogre leapt over the few remaining Fae, the impact of his landing sending another tremor through the ground before he barreled his way into the oncoming lines of soldiers, a large metal beam held high above his head. Eric scrambled to his feet, ignoring the pain in his shoulder. A glimpse of red on the pale ogre sent a flutter of hope into his gut.
Is that Grunch?
His words were drowned out by the low, reverberating battle horn that sounded somewhere behind him. He spun to see a gathering mass of trolls, orcs, gnolls, and all other manner of twisted charging through their ranks. Most were mounted on various beasts, but all were armed to the teeth and clad in full battle attire. The flutter of hope burst inside him like a wellspring, and Eric felt a laugh escape him as the few dozen soldiers grew into hundreds. They bolted past them, screaming and howling as they went, and he could feel the wind ruffle his hair and clothes. Pyra pulled to her feet in a swift motion, looking around at all the twisted. They charged headlong into a battle they didn't need to be a part of. She felt a rush of gratitude as she caught sight of an obsidian hellhound. Rassizi raised her sword in salute before she pulled away to reveal her companion rider. Astonishment drowned the rush of gratitude as she watched Varen keeping pace on the back of his stolen horse. He gave her a crooked smile and a nod before being swallowed in the sea of bodies. A shadow fell over them, and Eric turned to see a four-legged lizard the size of a hippo stopped before them. Its chameleon-like eyes swiveled around, and it thrashed its tree-trunk tail before letting out a trumpeting screech. He moved in front of the queen, but the gesture was unnecessary as a squat, green face peered around the beast's head.
Sabine?
Pyra could hardly contain herself, and her jaw fell open.
Looks like we made it just in time.
Sabine let out a cackle and took a long, slow pull from her pipe. She exhaled the smoke from her nostrils, offering them a toothy grin.
That prince of yours said you'd try something stupid.
Feeling lightheaded from euphoria, or possibly the loss of blood, Eric let out a small bark of laughter.
Not that I'm complaining, but why are you here?
I told you earlier. I wanted employment for my people, and military services were part of that agreement.
Sabine sucked on the end of her pipe for a moment, mulling the words around in her mouth.
Since you haven't signed that contract yet, Varen suggested their first act as citizens would be to protect their country. And, well, how could I say no?
She flashed him another toothy grin.
But you're gonna owe me for this.
Definitely the loss of blood, Eric thought, as he collapsed to his knees. He watched the ocean of Twisted clash against the wall of human troops. They had lost so much to defend this land and its people from those that desired only greed. The last glimpse he saw before allowing himself to hang his head in exhaustion was that of the prince, charging in at the last minute to save the day, just like his own brother. In the end, the armies of man bled that day at the hands of those they deemed less than human and acquired not a single inch. Squinting through the flickering light of a candle, Eric turned the curious object over in his hands before setting it down on the table. The heavy golden medallion was unassuming on the surface, just another trinket emblazoned with a feather and a book. Shortly after the battle had ended, he had instructed that any remaining gear of the Brotherhood be brought to him for inspection, a task that bore unexpected fruits. He found weapons enhanced with small electrical charges, chunks of reinforced armor made from alloys that shouldn't exist in a pre-industrial time period, and even a spear with a pneumatic striking mechanism in the head to increase its puncturing power. Of course, there were no other portal devices, and nothing that even came close to the technology that Ruby had possessed. There was no evidence that the wielders of these items had any idea of their true nature, or where they had come from. Eric believed that they were viewed as blessed objects, handed down by their god. The most curious of all the artifacts were the holy sigils. He looked down at the one on the table. Each contained a small circuit board encased beneath the golden exterior. This one appeared to be no different, as he could see several wires exposed beneath a fissure that ran along the surface.
What are we still doing here?
The sound of someone sitting across from him pulled Eric's attention away from the golden emblem. He sighed as he looked up to see Evan, staring at him with a mixture of curiosity and confusion. He offered the tiny merc a half shrug.
I don't know. I'm trying to make sense of all this... of all this...
He waved his hands towards the growing pile of collected garments and items.
Why aren't we doing that back at the castle, then? Or somewhere that has a fireplace?
Evan pulled his coat in tight around himself. Eric gave a cursory glance around the tent, a gift they had been bestowed by Sabine once the battle had ended. Even though it was drafty, it was spacious enough to accommodate them all, and it had kept them dry in these winter months. He looked back at the kid with an exasperated frown.
I don't know.
Besides, we can't leave... Leave the border undefended. Right, I get that. But the last skirmish we had was 2 months ago. Wasizi's troops sent all those Fuscarian soldiers running so hard, they'd be foolish to try it again.
Evan reached over and lit another candle, warming his hands around the flame. Ignoring the tiny merc's question, he tried to return his focus to the golden emblem. He dropped a ball of summoned shadows onto its surface and watched it fizzle and fade, destroyed by the device. Again and again, the result was the same no matter how many different ways he tried it. These sigils absorbed magic, but he was no closer to figuring out how.
Okay then.
Evan knew what the doctor was doing, but couldn't figure out why he was ignoring the question.
So, why aren't you using some of that technology to fix your portal locker?
I don't know!
Eric slammed his hands down on the table. The hum of conversation that had filled the room faded suddenly, and he felt the burn of embarrassment as all eyes turned to face him. His sudden outburst of anger faded, and he slumped back into his chair.
Look, it's not that easy, okay? If I could get my hand on Ruby's device, then maybe I could make it work.
Evan leaned over the table, dropping his voice.
She's not coming back, man.
It's been 6 months.
I know. Eric sighed and pushed the sigil into a pile of them at the end of the table. While he had hoped to get a hold of that portal machine, the truth was, it still might not do any good. He didn't know how to use what he had to fix his own, because the Brotherhood's technology was like nothing he had ever seen. At this point, he was just dragging his heels on returning to the kingdom. "You're gonna have to figure something out." Evan sidled out of his chair, offering the doctor a look. "We can't stay here through the winter." Feeling like a broken record as of late, Eric opted to keep his mouth shut. He knew the kid was right, that he'd have to return to Ebon Vane and confront Lucien at some point. He wasn't ready to be king for real. He buried his face in his hands, his fingers digging into his hair as he let out a long, exasperated groan.
"You still haven't figured out those gaudy necklaces yet?"
Eric peeked open an eye between his fingers and sighed. The Arcanist was standing at the entrance of the tent, his fur-lined robes closed haphazardly around his bare legs. He lowered his hands and nodded.
"Yeah, but I'll get there eventually. You seem chipper, though. Feeling better?"
Atlas gave an experimental stretch and winced.
"Ah, still hurts a bit now and then. But nothing that gorgeous nurse in the medbay can't cure."
While the Arcanist made jokes, Eric couldn't help but think of how close he had come to death. The arrow had perforated Atlas's colon. Despite his extensive medical training, he rarely worked on the living. Between his lackluster skills and Sabine's crew of healing mages, they managed to save the Arcanist's life. He had been bedridden for months, moving in and out of feverish delirium.
"Just take it easy. Remember what I said about strenuous activity?"
Atlas rolled his eyes.
Yeah. No one-on-one therapy sessions. You doctors sure know how to take all the fun out of living."
From across the room, Evan piped up as he climbed onto the tiny bed that was propped up next to Barry.
"Like you ever had a chance to begin with."
He laughed as he settled into his pillows.
"She had to clean out your bedpan for over a month. Ain't a chance she's touching you after that."
"Hardy har."
Atlas pulled a face before turning back to the doctor, jabbing a thumb over his shoulder as he did.
"Sabine's looking for you. She said to meet her by the northern stables."
With a long and loud groan, Eric pushed himself out of his chair. He swept the pile of golden amulets into a small wooden box and kicked it under his cot.
"She has two other royals she can bother. Actual royals! I don't know why she always wants to talk to me."
He gestured with a jerk of his head in the direction of the prince and the queen, who were sitting on a short bench, chatting animatedly in sign language. Whatever rift that had grown between them before had vanished. They were friendlier now with one another, often laughing at each other's jokes or working on Varen's signing by the candlelight. Pyra would even accompany the prince as a translator, helping to convey his thoughts or ideas with Sabine or others. Eric was sure she still felt some guilt, but it faded with each day spent together. Pyra gave him a conspiratorial wiggle of her eyebrows.
"Maybe she fancies you."
Eric shot her a dirty look and offered her a rude hand gesture. Shaking his head, Atlas cleared his throat.
"No, she wants all of you. We have another rider."
Eric pushed his arms to the sleeves of his heavy, regal cloak. He could already guess the purpose of this meeting. For months now, Lucien and the Council had sent riders every few weeks to deliver edicts claiming that the Twisted, as an illegitimate force, must disband, or to request that the king return to the castle and let the fort defend itself. But he could see through each and every hand-signed scroll. Sabine would summon the royal family, only to tell the rider to get bent in a more official capacity than she or any of her soldiers could perform on their own. The group trudged out into the deep snow, following the Arcanist with a considerable amount of grumbling. Eric sighed and tugged his cloak closer, shielding himself from the winter's chill. Flakes were beginning to drift down from the gray afternoon sky. They better make this quick before the storm dumped another foot of snow on them. At the end of the short path that led to their tent, Eric spotted the two guard trolls waiting for them. They gave curt salutes before turning to trudge a path towards the stables. He couldn't help but smile when Bob offered him a similar salute before falling in line with them. He clapped a hand on the undead shoulder, glad that the creature had eventually forgiven him for his transgressions. He still hadn't fully forgiven himself. Bob beamed at his master, forming a gap-toothed smile as he tapped at the shiny metal on his chest with pride. He knew he was being absurd, but Eric had insisted that his undead companion be bestowed with a symbol of honor for all he had done. Okay, so it wasn't a real medal. He had fashioned it out of the remnants of his borrowed stage outfit and a spare coin pilfered from one of the enemy soldiers. But the undead had accepted it with a sloppy smile, and it made the hole in his heart a little smaller. As they neared the edge of the camp, Eric stopped, as he always did, next to a large stone pillar that Goran had helped him erect. He had spent weeks carving every name into its surface, each one a reminder of those that fell in the Battle of Death's Tide. Of the 73 men and women who had walked out onto that battlefield with him, only 24 had survived. 49 had died that day, along with a dozen or more of Sabine's troops, and he had stopped every day to honor each name. From that 73, they had grown to over 1,000, and there were more new recruits every day. Word of his deal with Sabine had spread beyond the borders of Ebra, and now they had Twisted traveling in from as far away as the Eastern Isles. The guarantee of citizenship and real opportunity was an intoxicating promise to a people who had nothing. Evan reached up and patted the doctor gently on the side of the knee. "Feeling sorry won't bring them back." Eric pried his eyes away from the gray monolith and nodded. He had memorized them all long ago anyway.
"You're right. Let's get this over with."
"Besides, I'm poking holes in my shirt, it's so cold out here."
The stables were at the far northeast corner of the camp, right near the border of the dead zone. An old road ran past this point, making it the obvious location to house their various mounts and receive guests, welcome or otherwise. They found Sabine overseeing a group of kobolds as they fed the royal horses still attached to the front of an ornate carriage. She gave Eric a knowing roll of the eyes and turned to the terrified man sitting in the driver's seat.
"As requested, King Elias, Queen Pyra, and Prince Varin."
"And company?"
Evan raised his hand after climbing onto the back of his furry friend. Sabine barked a laugh.
"And company. Now, speak your damn piece and get the hell out of my war camp."
The driver nervously rapped a fist on the roof of the carriage, and a moment later, a cloaked figure pried open the door. Eric pulled a face as his gaze landed on Lucien. He looked harried and worn, pallid even, despite his usual pale skin. The last few months sat ill on him by the looks of it, but that hateful scowl was still permanently carved into his face. So much for dragging his feet.
"For the last time, Lucien, we are not disbanding the troops and we are not surrendering the battlefield. So what do you really want?"
There was a low growl at his side, and Eric turned to see Bob's eyes flare up with flecks of purple. He put out a hand, shaking his head as he said,
"No, leave him."
But the undead ignored his words. As if he were being pulled along by invisible strings, Bob lurched towards the carriage. He fought every motion and turned to offer one last confused look before the purple haze overtook him and he shoved his master out of the way. Lucian let out a yelp of fear and attempted to scrabble back into the carriage, but something kicked him roughly through the opening. He landed face down in the melted snow and mud, his fine white garments stained with filth. Prying his eyes away from his undead companion, Eric watched another figure emerge from the carriage. He was dressed in a sharp black suit, had long platinum blonde hair, but his face was obscured by a mask. It was a cobbled mess of porcelain and bone, fusing the visage of a tragedy play mask and what looked like a stag skull, much like the one the matron had worn. The man stepped out into the mud and hoisted Lucian to his feet. Eric could see now that the Regent Lord had been bound at the wrists. His gaze flickered between his undead companion, lost to the rage of the purple haze, and the two men. He frowned.
What is this?
A gift. A conscript to serve on the front lines of your army.
50 years hadn't dampened her memory, and, despite the time, Pyra still recognized the cadence of her husband's voice. Her breath caught in her throat as she watched him step out of the darkened carriage. Like he'd been plucked from her very memories, he was dressed in his finest linens, visible just beneath the fur-lined cloak. His long hair was tied at the nape of his neck, like it always had been, with that shock of white hanging loose over his glasses. There were new lines on his face, some around the eyes, but most on his forehead, but his smile felt genuine. She made the move towards him, to fling herself into his arms and sob her worries away, but the prince threw out a hand to stop her. When she looked at him, Varen gave the slightest shake of his head. Elias stepped out into the snow, his eyes moving over each member of this kaleidoscopic band of so-called heroes. From the tiny dwarf perched atop an impressive beast, to his brother holding back his beloved wife. He felt a spasm of rage flicker through him as their eyes met. Perhaps the anger came from the reminder of all the bad that Varen had done in his absence. Or perhaps it was simply that he shared a face with someone more recent in his memories. Eric noticed none of this. He felt a pang of sadness wash over him, helpless to do anything but watch as Bob fell into a limp state with purple eyes only for the true king. He swallowed hard as he met the gaze of the most feared person in the realm. The newfound courage inside him still didn't quite drown out the hammering of his heart.
What do you want?
Elias turned his attention back to his doppelganger, and a gentle smile creased his face.
We need to have a discussion about your brother.
Thank you so much for joining us for the final chapter of Bandits and Bad Magic. If you haven't listened to the rest of the book, or would like to listen to the others in the same series, there will be links in the description to where you can find them. Of Bandits and Bad Magic is over, but the adventure is just beginning. Check back soon for more amazing stories by Leslie Herron.
Oh, hells. Is one of the patients throwing a tantrum again? Holdrock, go get a guard to help me settle them down. Yes, sir. Forget the guards. We have to get in there before they bring down the entire infirmary. Yes, sir.
Oh!
What in the... Clara?
It's not what it looks like, sir.
Right. She was just giving me some one-on-one therapy is all.
I'm a healer, not a moron.
Sorry, sir.
Bah. Put yourself together and then clean this mess up.
Of course, sir.
Come on, Goldrock. I need to find some disinfectant for my eyes.
Yes, sir.
Clara?
No, we can't finish.
No, not that. Remember how I wasn't supposed to do anything strenuous?
Yes.
Am I supposed to be gushing blood like this?
Oh, gods!
Promise not to tell the king, okay?